from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster. I ask you to confront chaos with kindness, whether it's a secret acts of kindness or public acts of kindness, however you choose. And you don't have to be kind all the time. I'm about as cynical as you can get, but one thing that's in our control is our behavior. And right now, we're confronted with a lot of stuff. And if we can confront that with kindness or lead with it, or even patience or whatever it is, she said something, that's what I'm asking you to do. It'll help us all sleep better at night, because this is a podcast that puts you to sleep, and it's time for sleep with me.
All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. With just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking... If the answers to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box, straight straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
I hate you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Welcome, this is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. And I'm going to do the rest. You know, what I'm going to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever is keeping you up at night. Whether it's thinking, feeling, noises, you know, stuff you've had going on this week or stuff you have coming up. It could be a whole variety of other stuff, but whatever it is, I want to take your mind off of that. I'm going to use lulling, soothing tones. I'm going to send my voice here across the deep, dark night. And the whole idea is to engage you kind of while you drift off into sleep. And if you're new here, welcome. Like thus far, I've said it, this is a podcast to put you to sleep. We do it by distraction, meanders, mostly, but like distraction. It's a dual distraction. I think I've used that before. I'm trying to distract you, but while I'll be trying to distract you, a lot of times I get distracted. And so then I'll just wander off. Like, just like if you're driving in a car. And let's say you're totally chill. You're in a totally chill mood. Like I'm recording this opening ahead of time because I'm going to be out of town. So it's Sunday before the 4th of July. So I got tomorrow off. I'm like, oh, boy. So I don't think I've ever been totally chill in my life, but I'm the closest to totally chill I'll be for a while, you know. And let's say I was on a, so then you're less likely to get irritated when you're on a Sunday drive, or at least I am. So let's say I'm on a Sunday drive and with a grandfatherly figure. And the car is warm and you're kicking back and that person's narrating, you know, well, we're going to go down through go see the old place. Okay, great. Can't wait. So we're going to go straight to see. Oh, well, I want to go see if Ray's old stand is there. He used to sell fruit. Was it fruit or was it corn? It was corn and vegetables. Oh, no, that was in that movie we went to see with the rabbits. Oh, boy, I can't believe I got the movie and the rabbits mixed up. And you see, like a lot of times, if you were trying to get somewhere, like to something, you'd say, if it was the 4th of July, I'd be like, well, we got to get there for the picnics and the fireworks. Come on, please don't stop. But because it's a chill day, you kind of kick back and you listen, but maybe the warm air, and you lean your seat back a little bit. Maybe you get the combination of warm air and a little breeze. And I said, yeah, no, I liked that movie. Was that the boy from, he was on another show, the one who played the fox. I did enjoy, he was a tricky little fox. And remember the sloth? I laughed so much at the sloth. Oh, so they, here comes the, oh, this was where, oh, you know what? This is where Marge would sell her jams here. And I remember she would give us a nickel for a jar. So that's kind of like the podcast. That's one of the ideas behind the podcast. I try to make it slightly more engaging than that. My theory being, based on Grandpa Simpson, is like, if someone starts talking about nickels and jars, part of your brain catches on and they say, well, this person's just talking about nickels and jars. So I'll just add like extra, you know, I don't know. I guess this is as meta as it gets. I'll try to add a little bit more to it than that. So it's slightly engaging, not totally, totally boring, slightly engaging. But at the same time, you'll be like, I don't know. I'm trying to think, this is so weird. Like I'm doing the podcast within the podcast. Like, I guess I'd do that. Like, what if, like, how does it feel? Like if I was in a jar, like a bell jar. And I always, like, when you go to the store, I've fantasized about being someone that cans and jars things. And this is the truth, but I'm not capable of that. I've had a neighbor that did that with, like, carrots and hot peppers. And I had a friend that came by one time. He wanted to jar stuff. And once I saw, I said, yeah, this is not for me. This is way, I said, yes, yeah, I said, well, can't we, when are we going to start filling the jars up? Because let's get in to do something. I said, well, we got to sterilize the jars. And I said, okay. And then I said, when's the jarring going to go? When did we vacuum seal it? That's my main interest, is the vacuum sealing. So that's the last step. And then we got to cool the jars. I said, okay. So I quickly found out, I had had the suspicion that canning and jarring wasn't for me because it involved steps and, you know, sterilization. Count me out. So my whole life I've been called Mr. Messy. So even like with an assistant, I knew, like, well, I was the assistant, but this guy, he was doing the, he said, well, that's a lot of steps. I don't know. Yeah, no, you better count me out. I don't think I can handle all these. And I said, and then I guess that part of me, I guess maybe a very American part of me said, well, I could just go, I'll just go to the store. Or most of the time it's even one more Eeyore. I said, well, I'll just do without jam. I really don't need jam. Jam is a nice thing to have, or preserves, or, you know, fresh sauces. But, you know, I could just drink water. I'll just drink water. You see, for breakfast, you're going to drink water. Well, okay, I could have toast. You say, who needs, so I guess this, well, this is getting into a cycle and that. But anyway, they say, okay, I don't know if there is a difference. I suspect there is. They say, well, okay, I can hear Scoots going on about his internal narrative about jarring and canning. It's somewhat barely engaging, more engaging than if he said, and we would return them for a nickel. And they always said, you know, make sure there's no, you know, make sure there's no corn in these jars. That was a saying back then. Keep your corn out of the jars, I think. Or maybe it was keep the coin out of the jars. I guess that was it. She didn't want any jars that had held coins, you know, because it involved more work. So my podcast is meant to take your mind off stuff, but lightly grasp you, lightly hold your hand as you float over the threshold between wake and sleep. And for tonight's episode, we're returning to where we started a while ago. We're returning to the TV show, recaps of the TV show Breaking Bad in its Colombian remake Metastasis News. And so I'll do three segments coming up here. First is going to be like Metastasis News is in Spanish. And I don't really speak Spanish, but I watched the show three times. I watched it once, the Colombian version without subtitles. Then I watched Breaking Bad. Then I watched the Colombian version again with subtitles, the Spanish subtitles on. So I write down some Spanish words. So the first segment here will be my language learning segment. And it's not meant to poke fun at the language. I mean, it's not even meant to poke fun at my inability to grasp English or Spanish. It's more like as I try to look up the words and say, what does that word mean? I just use it to kind of create a little bedtime story. And yeah, it's a little bit weird and it involves broken English and a little broken Spanish. After that, we'll run through the episode of Metastasis News. Then we'll run through the episode of Breaking Bad. All that will be sanitized like a glass jar. So you don't got to worry about anything too stirring. You know, I've been doing this podcast for over 400 episodes at this point. So I try to keep it as meandering and comforting and lulling as I can. And the whole reason I started this show was I was curious, mostly, like, because when I couldn't sleep and when I can't sleep, I feel terribly alone. And I crave distraction because my brain gets fired up and starts going a mile a minute. And most of the stuff it's saying is not too nice or not too comforting. And it's hard to distract myself. And so the whole idea of the podcast is I didn't like that. And I don't like feeling that way. And I guess part of me always wish someone would just come by and sit at the foot of my bed and say, hey, that seems like it sucks. You can't sleep. That seems really rough. You seem all bent out of shape. And I, you know, I don't have a magical power. This is what I would say to myself. But I guess in some sense, I'm saying to you, I don't even know how to help you fall asleep. What I do here is sit here and keep you company And maybe I'll just tell you a little silly bedtime story. And, you know, because she said, I feel bad that you're in such rough straits, you can't sleep. And it's really hard for other people to relate to that. So I'll be here for you. I'm not sure what I could do. I could just try to take your mind off stuff, be your friend. And I said, geez, like, because I desire that for myself when I was a kid, I don't know. I said, geez, could this, and I said, I guess I just started trying it. And over the 400 episodes we've done, I've kind of learned, you know, the show's slowly evolving and it's kind of always getting a tiny bit better, I feel. So I'm glad you're here. If your first few times here, the show's way different. It's not a guided meditation. It's not hypnosis. It's not ASMR. Though some people do get that kind of tingling thing going. And, you know, it's a little bit more meandering and story-based than, you know, noise or white noise. And it's a sleep offering. That's what I call it. You're under no pressure to fall asleep. You're under no pressure to listen to me. But I hope this can help you. And it helps a lot of people. And I'm glad you're here. I appreciate you taking the risk to check it out. And I really yearn, and I really hope I can help you fall asleep. Housekeeping. I want to thank Carl W., who edited this episode, and Chris Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful, who does the theme music, Jonathan Mann from JonathanMann.net, who does the lullabies, Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork. We've got a Facebook group over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, N-O-D-S. I want to thank our moderators there, Sarah Summer, Lilai, Jennifer B., Julie C., and Laura. And we have a subreddit, sleepwithmepodcast.com/reddit. You can check it out over there if you use Reddit. And I believe that's it. Let's get on to the show. And it's been a while. And actually, this show is recorded in case of emergency purposes during Game of Thrones season. So this show's been out there for a while. And I know the first part's pretty fun because I think BBV, Belbiv and DeVoe, but you don't need to, you could do listen to it tomorrow, so just go to sleep anyway. But yeah, here we go. We'll return to Metastas News. All right, thanks everybody.
All right, everybody, it is time to talk about tonight's sponsor, ZocDoc. And I think all of us have that family member that you tend to change the subject or kind of bend the truth around when they start asking, you know, for life updates. Oh, why are you still living at home? Oh, when are you doing this? Oh, what's your job again? And while grinning and bearing it with relatives like that is considered polite, there's no way you should be doing that with your doctor. You know, when you have questions or your doctor's asking you questions about your life, you want to have someone you feel comfortable enough to be honest with. And that's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. And we're not just talking about a few. We're talking about tens of thousands of doctors, all with verified patient reviews. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And just like I said, we're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. And you can filter for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're looking for. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. And I love hearing from listeners who have tested out ZocDoc, whether they've gotten new insurance, they've moved to a new area, because they found out the same thing I have, how easy it is to use and how great it is to see all of your options. So we've tested it out. You should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/sleep and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/sleep. 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 Thanks, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
All right, so this is a 45th Red Pen story. And I was thinking about Belle Biv DeVoe, and some people might not know about Belle Biv DeVoe. Michael Bivins was there running the show. Bivins. And then Belle and DeVoe, and they were from Philly. That's where my brother lives. Well, he lives outside of Philly now, but he works for Philadelphia School District. Maybe, depending on if you like this podcast or not. Oh, you know what? I guess I'm not positive Belle Biv DeVoe lives in Philly. But they have this song, Poison, right? Veneno in Spanish. And I always think about... believe it or not, I have another song earwormed in my head anyway, so I can't even earworm you. But, you know, I think about, whenever I think about that song, there's also a band called that, and they were around, and these are both 80s groups, so I'll try to transition away from the 80s to something even older, which is like, so you had Snow White, right? Sleeping Beauty. Cinderella. Which one ate that apple? That's my question for you. And if you figure it out, probably, but you say, Jesus, you know, how come there was never, is it Jesus, was that, I wonder if there was a lab, like from the apple growers back then. Actually, they were, wasn't that the whole Alar thing or whatever? That was before my time, I think, but. You know, nowadays, if you do anything like that, you'd have trouble. You know, they'd say they'd have to make up a fake fruit. You'd say, oh, it's a poisoned opal that made Snow White sleep. And then you think about Snow White when she was sleeping, or did she pass on? Again, I was confused. I don't know what it is. She said, I didn't think this was story. It's supposed to be Spanish. Story about, but I have mixed feelings about Snow White. I don't know about that 50s. I don't know if that was 50s, but I don't know if it was the pacing and that, but that was the one, I mean, that made Disney and, you know, that Empacada, it packed the theaters, you know. So I guess they could care less. Several years in me, except go without my opinion, you know. So I don't know, but I see, you know, I said, why couldn't there be like, I don't know. I said, what is the story here? CEO Estoy Ala. If I'm there, what is it? Like I'm at the Snow White premiere and Estahente, this is it, people. This is a story. Scooter's at the Snow White premiere and, Escoltarnos, he's escorting. Someone he's involucrados, he's involved with. So you say, oh boy, okay, this is fiction then, right? Because it's definitely fiction if Scooter's involved with somebody. And then they say, well, Scooter, tell us de mas, the rest. And I say, well, I'm not feeling a story flowing. It's like a story block. But que date, stay here, otra forma. There's got to be another way. You know, if the story swamp's not giving it up. I mean, it had some things there. It had Snow White, apples, Belle Biv DeVoe. Move on. I got to move on. Like, just like Belle Biv DeVoe, they moved on. Or I don't know. You wonder if they're still best friends. Were they best friends, or was that something that was sold to us? Like, Tienen, did they have, like, a special bond? through music, or once the songs were over, De Harlow, did they leave each other? Peñas, did they barely know each other? Or Puerta, can we count on the... And who do you think Mandon was, the bossy of Belbiv and DeVoe? BBD. Bell was, but Michael Bivins was running the show. So I guess DeVoe was kind of on the, but he had a two-part net DeVoe. So I don't know who was Mandon. Presumably, I guess you could say, well, what are your what is that called? A trio. They're a trio. You'd have to reason. You know, okay, so is it the out front management style? Then it's Bell. He said, my name's first, I'm the first. Sure, Bivins can think he's running the show, but it's Bell Biv DeVoe. And then maybe, like, DeVoe was just, like, in the back singing, hola, mi baby. Like, hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my right. And then they said, what are you, DeVoe, what are you doing? You know, we're stick with the plan. But maybe he was really, like he said to maybe DeVoe was the one that said, you mar de mal genio, call me the evil genius. So they said, oh, so he was really running the show. He wasn't running the show. He was the one running the running of the show. And he was hoping Dejan Subban that they would let him rise. Because he had big plans for Espacio, for space. He had this idea, because this was the 80s. You think it was after Reagan was president, but believe it or not, DeVoe, you know, this whole thing was a cover-up for this Cortina, space curtain, Espacio Cortina, space curtain, which was originally called Star Wars. To Concretos, to be specific, but DeVoe called it the Espacio Cortina, the space curtain, which I don't know why they didn't call it that in the first place. They didn't listen to him. And he was this evil genius. So I guess you'd say, no, he's not an evil genius. You know, some would say, and he'd say, well, okay, the nuclear weapons would say he's an evil genius. And the other, because he wasn't, the thing was, you know who really thought he was evil genius was all the established defense contractors, because he was just an upstart. He was like an original startup. And Bell Biv DeVoe, and this is stuff nobody talks about, you know, Bell Biv DeVoe was the seed money that would have launched Espacio Cortina. And maybe, I think even he had gotten some of the plans for the Star Wars. I think it even had another name, Nuclear Deterrent System. It wasn't even called Star Wars. It was called something else. I get mixed up because I think it did have something, anti-nuclear defense system, SAD, something. But Espacio Cortina is a space curtain. So I think he like was working on the plans. And he had all the plans there. And then one night it was tock tock. There was a knock knock at his door. And they were supposed to be rehearsing, and Bell and Biv, they were, but their caras cogimos, their faces were caught. They were singing without their trio. It was a strange, normal-looking person. He said, well, I thought this was a trio. And Michael Bivins said, Cito Donde, what was where? You know, what was where? He did the old... what was where? And the guy said, where's the rest of your empresa, your company? And then Bell said, he's in having a bathroom break. Really, he's breaking, you know, he wanted to protect the U.S., but this guy was really, you know, a stooge with the, you know, I'll just be straight with you, military industrial complex. There, I said it. But Pero Ojo Haesto, well, listen to this part. Because then Bell and Biv, they said, Dejel Molsol. Dejel Molsol. They said, Dejel Oslo. Let's leave. And they said, come with us, man. We're going to go, sing outside. It's a nice, wonderful night. And then DeVoe, after he washes his hands a lot. That's where he is. And the guy says, I don't hear any water running. And they said, Barrow, Sarah, but it'll be running in a minute. And then he said, no. He goes, I hear a pencil. And he goes, I hear whatever the thing is they use, a slide rule. And Bell's face went, he went, good. He did that, good. Oh, boy. And that gave it away. This defense contractor, he got on his walkie-talkie. He said, all right, boys. He goes, we have some perfectly, but they said, we don't care. And then he left. And, Biv said, Suya Achamos is Syrian, but his cast will be, he goes, this is serious, And then Bell said, old Fato, what's that smell? And yep, it was whoever this military contractor was, because this was before cloud backup, he had overloaded the circuits in the building. He was causing poor DeVoe, he was working on a TI-99/4A computer, so it was so it melted. That was what it smelled, and then it spread, so they had to run. And then he went straight. He said, I'm in the middle of cracking the Espacia Cortina. And then those guys just started singing a little doo-wop, which cheered him up. But then he grabbed a pencil and a napkin and Callados. He kind of did a dumbed-down version of what he had been working on. And then Bell and Biv, they said to him, what is the secret to the Espacia Cortina that you have that's different than everybody else? And DeVoe said, I'm glad you asked, because it's a descubran de bajo abajo. It is discovered down below. Come testar, I'll answer your questions. Because you know what? And then he stood up there in a diner and he said, Esparo, who said, it's all for you, all of you. The Espacia Cortina is to protect everyone, the whole world. Because if that happens, Pasado Arriba, it won't be a last up. It's all of us. We're all in this together. And if you have some perfecto idiota, some perfect idiot at the button here, lo repito contar, repeat, it won't be a countdown. It'll be trouble right away. And I don't find that adequada, adequada. And I don't find that adequada, suitable. So that's why I'm working so hard. So he said, let me get back to the secret, so we use radar stuff, De La Senal for the signal. And he goes, microwave relay, stuff like that for the mensajes, the messages, but that's line of sight. So we also use it, but that's a double backup. We also use satellite, for Yamada, for the call. Because he goes, but the thing is, I got to figure this out, Apenas una vez par, just once, for everybody. He goes, this is a solution, Esperanto, we've been waiting for. And he goes, there's no corbata, no ties in this kind of thing. And people started to agree with him. They said, cierto. And one guy said, nunca mi gusto, I never liked this whole. And they said the whole thing, the whole military industrial complex. But also the, threat of global thermonuclear. And someone was grabbing her children and she said, Ari is garme, dame asiado, I'm at risk too. And then a weird guy said, Biento grafica mi largo, well, my wind graphics are long. And, you know, DeVoe just patted him, and then Belle and Biv, they sang for that guy. And even, you know, the people that were, you know, a little bit close-minded, they even said, you know, Dese de Anoche, since last night, you know, I had a dream about this. And he said, does anyone have any questions, Pierre Dierte? Just ask me. But then Bivens was like, well, I thought you were about to, you know, say, you were talking about it that it was below the earth or something. He said, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. He goes, so since the Viejo, since the earth has slowly aged, you know, he goes, there's a, you know, there's global thermal, he goes, but there's thermal energy within the earth. And he goes, deep down where you think things are todavía still, he goes, that's where we creamos, we create the espacio curtain, believe it or not. And he said, pero ya va a ver, but we'll already see. He goes, they're going to try to undo this. And everyone was confused, you know, because they're not amateur scientists, you know, amateur space war scientists like he was. So no sabin. They didn't know what he was talking about. But he said, pono peor, it gets worse, you know, if we don't deal with this right now. And of course, this he is too bad he was like 30 years too early, because people could have recorded this on a cell phone and uploaded this. But, you know, all these people, they were, you know, they said they were paid off. They said, forget it, you ever heard about Belle Biv DeVoe, except for their wonderful tunes. But not, you know, and people said, sure, what do you mean? And they said, no, really, I had so much soda at dinner. And I remember the guy talking about a space curtain. I thought, or a shower curtain. And they said, yeah, right, a shower curtain with space stuff. And I said, oh, yeah, forget it. And if you met any of the Belle Biv or DeVoe, they would say today, lo siento mucho, I'm so sorry. Because right when he was about to break how he's going to use thermal energy to protect the earth, yeah, this guy came to the door. He said, Dejeme entrar, let me in. And they said, it's a diner, anyone can come in. And the guy said, I was out there on the street and I had a notion that somebody was talking about a space defense system. I think I almost had it there. Space SADs, no, I don't know. I might remember it, but probably not. And the guy said, Oricuriando los malos un sitio. He goes, this seems like a bad situation. He goes, because this guy is not here. And then he was talking about DeVoe. You know, vino no solo a mis hijos. He's not here just to protect your children. He's to protect all the children on the other side of the world. You know, he's trying some divisive stuff. In these days, it was the Ruskies, they called them. And this guy, you know, he was covered in, you know, he was covered in American flags, all jingo. I think that's what they call that, jingoism. And he said, qui estón un tiempo, about, he goes, a space curtain. Because he goes, and he started, you know, I think this might have been the guy that wrote Proud to be American. Because he said, no sé cuándo, I don't know when Americans started putting up curtains in space. Now, you know, he goes, Americans don't put curtains up anywhere. We put up blinds. And, you know, DeVoe's so brilliant, he was laughing at that. He said, man, he goes, that's the irony. He goes, yeah, he goes, oh, boy. And he thought everybody would be on his side. And the guy said, and per dirlo, I need to prevent this ridiculous stuff. And he really enveneo, poisoned these people's minds. Because he said, as American, say lo juro, I swear. You know, Moriendo, I'm not giving up anything for the Ruskies, you know, that's them. And he goes, we're here, us. And then he said, I'm buying everybody's dinner, it's all on me. You know, because he was really a secret stooge for military industrial complex. Sacado Cajetilla Tenia, and he had taken packs of money, handed those out. And he said, this is what America, he goes, you know, He goes, I just made my first million out there. He goes, I bought a truckload of ice and I sold it to, you know, some silly thing like that, some metaphor like that. And he goes, unica forma, that's not the only way to make any millions. And Bell, who was usually the quiet one, he said, callese, you know, shut your yap. And then everything, you know, capaz faltaba, everything, all common sense, all capability of sensibility went missing at that point. And the logro camara, so the achievement that should have been on camera of DeVoe and Bell and Biv, who, you know, created the seed money, you know, all this stuff got put in a cassiero, the cassiero. All that stuff got put in a cassiero, a locker, you know, somewhere in some deep vault. And, you know, rompe cabezas además, a plus puzzle, you know, because they encrypted it probably or shredded it. You know, someday somebody will find it and they'll say, es un genio, it's genius, this DeVoe. You know, he could have defended us against these weapons of MADS. Was that what it's called? No. But, you know, Hagal, we didn't do it. We didn't take him up on it. Oh, DeVoe, adonde ba? Where did you go? I don't know. Bell, Biv, DeVoe. And now you know, how they could have prevented something that never happened, but he wanted to do it. All right, so we're talking episode 45, Walt sitting there. He has a really nice black dress shirt on, or dark gray, or charcoal, or, you know, something. There's some dead flowers. Wow, I didn't know I wrote that down. And then the episode opens. And we see two SUVs. We see the pink polka dot. We see a pink polka dot bag. What does that say? Berg? Bug? I don't know. After that. So being packed. Oh, pink polka dot bag being packed. Walt supervising. Walt's not going. We see the polka dot stuffed animal horse, which was filled in for Henry when they were doing the rehearsal. This was a new one I noticed in the bedroom. There's a pencil drawing over the chest of drawers in there. And at first I was very confused because, you know, it just flashed on the screen for a second. You know, and I'm always distracted. But I said, is that a dude in a beard? And, you know, I guess they have reverse on these remotes. But, you know, I'm so focused with pain, you know, panic. I said, is that a dude in a beard? Was that a couple with a dude in a beard? And they even put double question mark, what, WTF? But then I said, just wait for it, buddy. It'll come back. And then I noticed, oh, it was all three of them, but Walt has a full beard. But Junior looks close in age to his current age, and Cielo has a smirk on her face. And it didn't really look like a Junior, no offense to the artist, but then long talk with Walt and Cielo. They leave the polka dot pony behind, poor little pony. Wasn't my little pony, you know, I guess in that case. Walt calls Henry, who's got a serious neck brace on, a serious one, really puffy. Walt and Henry are keeping some kind of secrets, Fresco, like it's cool, bro. Walt says goodbye to Valentina. And also I caught this, there's a lot, I noticed the extras in the metastasis more. Because it's in an urban area as opposed to Albuquerque, which is a little bit smaller. But there's like a nosy neighbor there, like looking out of his garage the whole time. What does that say? Oh, watching. He watches everything they do, watches them pull out of Capaz Fran, his garage. That's confusing. But the neighbor was there watching the whole time. And then I said, presumably it's an extra, though. And I think the episode's called Venero. There's lots of, all of a sudden we see Henry's house. There's lots of coverage there. I said, is that too much coverage? Junior's all bent out of shape about something. Maria's trying to be a good host and to get Walt to come over. Henry's a polka dot episode. Henry has a polka dotted mug. What was interesting is instead of, I think they switched it because it was a white, was it white dots on a black background? But it really looked like a black non-dots on a white, you know, to me, like a black outlines on a white something. You know what I mean? It wasn't, there's something different about that mug. I can't quite put it into words. You know, when they say, see the space in between the trees, in between the tree branches, that's what that mug was doing. See the space in between the polka dots. Is the polka dot is the space in between the polka dots are the space in between the polka dots, young samurai. But none of that was said in the episode. Henry was like, you know what, I'm on to this Gus Fring guy. He also, even more, he had a new shirt on we haven't seen. 44 episodes that I'm aware of, you know, which, but it was a little bit different, less flashy, but still had some flash to it. He lays out the case. Don't worry, I got more shirt details coming, you know, calm down. But he lays out his case about meth and Gus to everybody, Cielo, Gomez, Jr., Maria. Henry's shirt, though, was a thin shirt, definitely my kind of shirt. I mean, I don't think I could pull his shirts off because I'm nothing like him, you know. I mean, Henry can carry a shirt. I mean, you give him a borderline shirt, he could still pull it off. I mean, he can pull off being bald. He still looks cool and he's bald. I mean, not that, I mean, just for him, you know, he does it well. So he could pull it, but it was a thin shirt. I couldn't tell if it was gray or brown. And it had some kind of cubist cartoon thing going to it. Clement, what's that guy's name? Like a Gustavo or a Clement, you know, or not a Dore, but a very cubist pattern to it, but in a cartoony way. But Gomez is there. Now, Gomez, he can't pull anything off. He's got a fleece vest. That's what he can pull off. As they say, a man's got to know his limitations, even in fashion. And Gomez is like, I'm that guy that wears a fleece vest everywhere. Why buy, you know, I've done more than given up. I've reached acceptance. This is my lot in life. I go through life with a fleece vest, not too hot, not too cold. And they said, well, you don't even care what you look like. Not as long as my core is comfortable. They say, that's why I love you, Gomez. But then Gomez, you know, takes heed. He pulls up to the laundry. He says, you guys do, any fleece vest services here? No, he starts asking other questions, not about it. And the guy at the door, he either knows something or he's a great actor. And they talk, the guy that runs the laundry, and he talks to him. He says, hey, let a few of us come in, and then surprise, it's a drug dog. And the guy's a little bit nervous, but not too nervous. And then Gomez takes a picture of a bunch of stuff. Meanwhile, Jose and Killian Murphy are down in the basement of the lab. Is that his name? I feel like his name changed, but is it Killian Murphy? Or did I, you know, at some point, most brain cells passed. It gave up in between the episodes. But they sit there. Jose whispers. He worries. Gomez looks at the fake washing machine for a while, touches the wall. Gus calls. I don't know what the hell he's thinking. They don't have the ringer off. This is pre-vibrate, I guess. This is one of these places where narrative tension and common sense collide. But Gus is watching everything unfold on his cameras, so he would have known it would have been. That's why I was being critical. But he wants to know if Jose still wants to protect Walt. Do you still love that, him as a father figure, or me? And Jose says, both. I'm a loving person. Then Gomez rolls out. The guy in the laundry does know, because he calls Killian, who's like, back to work, yo. Jose gets dropped off way out in the country at his car by a laundry truck. And then he calls Walt. Then he calls Saul. There's a bunch of voicemails from Saul. Then he shows up at Saul's office. They make plans. They talk. They make deals. Almost begs Jose. He says, take all your money. Then we see Henry in the neck brace. He's on a computer. Cielo's watching him. He's looking at photos from the laundry. She's watching everything. And then they chit-chat. Then she calls Walt, leaves a voicemail. And I guess she says, hey, dummy, because that's what I wrote. Hey, dummy, that's what it says. Then it says, Arrow Jr. reading long-form magazine. Maybe someone said, hey, dummy. Maybe that was the show there. Hey, it's time for another episode of Hey, Dummy, starring Scooter. But then Junior was reading a long-form magazine, long-form articles. I wish I could have figured out what it was. And he was really into it. And it was a long, I mean, I don't know. I found that interesting. Then Henry's looking at pictures of the lab. It was still Maria's with the baby. Cielo goes outside. She wants to get out, get some air. Then she bums a cigarette. She's stressed! Exclamation point. We see Jose. He's at home kicking out on the couch, chilling, thinking. Andrea calls. Jose rolls out. Jose goes to the hospital. No. Jose goes somewhere, but it's family day. And then he's like, well, and they said, only real family. And he said, what does that mean anymore? And then he's like, I'm going to go smoke. Then he's missing his magic cigarette. And then Jose knows Walt hanging out. Jose goes there. Jose knows. Then Walt's hiding out at his apartment or his house. Jose goes there. Walt plays the fiddle on Gus. That's what I wrote. Walt plays the fiddle on Gus, but he does. You know, he blames everything on Gus. So Jose, because Jose was kind of mad. He said, I'm trying to form my own family. Walt, what are you doing? But Jose's not having it. He's like, Walt, you're a liar. He suspects you. Then he cries, and then he's mad. And Walt tries, he says, well, once again, I think you should focus your energies on Gus, all your emotions. And then Walt says, I'm going to lie down on the ground here. And he said, he figures, I don't know what that means, he figures. I put single quotation marks around it. And he figures it out. Oh, and then he laughs. Like he said, well, let me think about what really is going on here. And then he laughs. And he says, of course, Jose, let me lay it all on you to a level of confidence, you know. And that's where he pushes Jose all the way to another emotional overload. Then they find some common ground. And then Jose goes back and he says, I want to be a member of this family, but they won't see him. And Killian shows up. He's like, you can't be waiting here for this family to accept you. You got to go to work. And Jose says, nope, I'm not going to work. And Killian says, no. And then Jose says, no. And then Killian calls the boss. Walt is working on a Raspberry Pi. You know, I don't know what he's downloading or what. Or, you know, probably making noise, you know, irritating noises. Oh, yeah, because he's using a walkie-talkie to talk through a Raspberry Pi. Just, you know, with the private voice alternator, say, excuse me, sir. You know, something to play tricks on people. And then we see Gus's station wagon. He parks at the garage with his crew. Gus is in a suit with a blue sweater. So he had a suit coat with, you know, with a blue sweater. That's a lot of layering. I would get so hot like that. I don't even think I could wear, and it could probably handle like 1.5 of those layers. You know, maybe the sweater and a real thin t-shirt. But Killian's there. He shows up. He says, hey, there's a phone call for you. For Jose, and he's, and then it's like, oh, Gus is in the chapel. So he meets up with Gus. Gus says some things, and it kind of makes Jose sad. Then we see back at the car garage, on the roof. We see a Los Pollos, mirror, hanging from a mirror of Gus's car, a Los Pollos keychain. And the keychain, Gus is telling, I guess Walt was going to pretend he was a chicken. Like saying, your chickens are bad or something, I don't know. But Gus sees the keychain and he gets a mental, the keychain tells, he says, there's going to be a trick. Walt's trying to trick you, you know, hidden camera style. So Gus is like, well, I don't want to, you know, play in these games. So he just stares at the car. He says, no, thank you. Then we see Walt has everything. He made it. This is creative. This is a maker making. Because Walt, his maker kit for making his Raspberry Pi, you know, voice a comedy routine, a diaper bag kit. Like I said, that's a very good use of a diaper bag for a maker bag. And that's the end of the episode. All right, so we're talking season 4, episode 12. Is that right? Yeah, season 4, episode 12, End Times of Breaking Bad. It opens with some packing, and it's in a hurry. And Walt's, it's Walt and Skyler. They're packing to move out, move on, or temporary move away. And then Skyler's like... oh, I'm not going. Like, first guy was like, okay, where's all your toothbrushes? So, oh, wait, you don't live here. We'll go by your place. And Walt says, I'm not going. And this is really this episode, I mean, Bryan Cranston's at his best. And you'd say, well, geez, is Walt, over these past two episodes, you know, where do we stand with Walt? Oh, boy, I would say, oh, boy. Oshkosh bagosh. Maybe. But geez, I can't imagine the difficulty of doing it, like, because this just comes across. These two episodes are so good. I mean, well, I don't want to point out any particular episodes, but that we're not watching Bryan Cranston. I mean, or I'm not. It's like, there's so many layers to Walter, and it can be so incredibly confusing. And assumingly, for the most part, I mean, for me, it might be confusing for some other reasons, but just the nuance, it's like, geez, that you forget. I mean, you don't forget I'm watching. I don't know. I can't believe someone could act and write and direct and do all of the things that go into this. It just makes it seem, I mean, effortless. I don't know, oh, man, this is a good episode. And I mean, just good in a mind-bending way, even though, well, anyway, Walt says, you know, I'm not going with you to Hank and Marie's. And Skye says, what do you mean you're not going? This is over, you know, we're having a sleepover. We're building the forts in the living room, adult sleepover. It's the newest hip thing, Walt. And Walt says, no, I want all of you to go and be safe. You know, you'll be better off there. I'll be here or somewhere else on my own. He goes, this is a new way. I know it's hard, Skyler, but this is a new, you know, this is the way, the state of our affairs. Hey, Marie's your sister. And, she, you know, it, stuff like that, kind of. But Skyler's like, you know, I'm not leaving you. And Walt's like, don't worry. The professionals are in charge because they hired someone to do this adult sleepover. And then Skyler's like, well, how am I going to explain it to Murray? She's going to flip, or Junior or Hank. You know, they don't want to be stuck at this adult. You know, they don't want to be there either. And Walt's like, you'll figure it out. And Hank will, he says, Hank will know Murray's overreacting. I'll talk to Hank. You back me up. And Skyler's like, no. And Walt says, there's no other way. And Skyler's like, well, when are we going to work all this out, all this stuff? And this is when we get, every once in a while, we get close to Walter being truthful, Walter. And almost here, but not quite. He says, you know, I've been sick, Skyler, for a year now. And because of that, I've made choices. And he goes, I have to deal with those choices, no one else. And even there you say, was he being truthful or not? Or does he know, does he, even Walter know what the truth is? As he says, those consequences, they're coming. No more prolonging the inevitable. And then Walt lies to Hank, I got to run the car wash. You know, oh yeah, and Hank's like, oh yeah. He goes, this is go great with Marie. He goes, Marie's going to be the one. And he goes, and Hank's like, yeah, this is just ridiculous. I agree. And he says, okay, just take care of yourself, buddy. All right, buddy. A couple other pieces of dialogue. There's got to be another way. Walt says there was, now there isn't. And then there's also this, oh, Skyler. Then Walt says goodbye to the baby. Because the baby's name's different, I get it mixed up. It's not Valentina. Valentina, that's in the... But Walt says goodbye to the baby. Baby cries. And then the episode opens. Walt's in the backyard. He's playing Spin the Bottle with himself, which, I mean, that's bizarre. There's a weird wind on the plants. And at first I was surprised I noticed it, but then I said, I wrote it down here, wind on plants. That's all I wrote. Nothing other than that. So it's like, man, the subtlety of this freaking show. Holy moly. Then we're at Hank and Marie's. There's a ton of cops there. And we're inside. Junior and Marie are talking about forcing Walt to come over. And like, how hard did you try? And then they lay off your mom. And then Marie's like, you know, can't you just make him come? Can't Steve? And he goes, no, you can't make people come where you want them to be. And, you know, Marie's like, I'll call him. He'll get over here if I call him. End of story or something. And she's like, because this is trouble for all of us. And Hank's like, it's not trouble for all of us. And then Walt doesn't answer. And he's like, take it down a notch. You know, okay, we got, you know, this whole thing's a smoke screen. That's when Hank takes over. He says, this is a smoke screen. I'm still incapacitated. The timing's odd, you know, I'm looking in the fring and then all of a sudden I got to stay here. And that's when Hank kind of openly discusses, like, Gus Fring from the chicken guy. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? Hank's like, well, just because Gomez is there. And he's like, well, I think he's the biggest meth dealer in the Southwest. And everyone's like, whoa, Steve, what do you think of this? And they're like, are you even looking into it? And he's like, well, you know, and he goes, and then Hank's like, it's run by a German multinational. And then Steve Gomez is like, well, there's no proof. And then Hank's like, well, why don't you start at the laundry, you know, meth super lab. And they're like, well, you know, what do you know? And they have this note. It says, go and start a laundry. I don't know what that means, but Steve pulls up to the laundry. Dennis is working. He's in a gray shirt and tie. And Dennis is really good. And Steve starts trying to play the guy with this story about a entitled rich kid at a fancy burger joint. Steve Bills does some of the old rapport building. He does the old working class rapport building. Then he says, you know, this weird, he goes, oh, it's in you guys. He goes, it's just this other, you know, it's the opposite of separating the people from the problem. It's blaming somebody else for the problem. And he goes, his dad's some big shot, so we got to go look and see what was in his chef's coat that he said got from you guys. And Dennis is like, well, I don't know. And so Steve's like, well, I could call everybody. You know, we do have to get a warrant and everything, or we could just, you know, look around. And he's like, all right. He goes, Dennis will be like the wind. And then he goes, just two of us. And but one of them is a guy who's a drug dog. And so they go in. And then we see Jesse and Tyrus are in their lab quiet. Gus calls. He's like, this is all Walt's fault, Jesse. And he goes, this can't go on. And Jesse's like, well, I don't like Walt, but I could care less. You know, you and Walt need to just avoid each other. He goes, I've decided you're my Oedipalian, you know. He goes, actually, Gus, I don't know anything about your family. He goes, maybe you, he goes, are you, am I Telemachus? Or he goes, I'm confused of which archetypes were supposed to fit in here. And then Gus says, well, have you read Chaucer? And Jesse says, I don't read, yo. No, that didn't, none of that happened. Of course not. Silly, I'm such a silly goose sometimes with my imagination. Sorry, I just like did some fan fiction there. But Jesse's like, no. And then Gus is like, well, we're going to have to deal with this somehow. And then reprise. Is that what this is? Response. Oh, the response. Then they're gone. They couldn't find anything. Jesse gets driven out to the country. That's where his car is parked. And then he gets in his car. He calls Walt. I also noticed Jesse's red flip phone. I had that phone. It almost had like a mirror. It was a pretty good phone. It was thin for a flip phone, like flat. I don't know why they made like those. Yeah, I liked it. I don't know what brand it was. I think, you know, you got it when you signed a freaking 40-year contract or whatever it was. And it had a camera. The camera wasn't that great, but it was better than in the location because it was in the flip part and not the phone. You know, the top part. They used to call those clamshell phones too, but that was flip phones better. Clamshell, there's too many. Again, this is, I think brand consultants could just listen to this podcast, you know, flip phone, clamshell phone. That's too much. Okay. There you go. Boom. Pro-am tip. You know, for your freaking brand building or whatever the hell you do. Anyway, but that was in the flip part of the phone. And most of them are in the base. Or the ones I've had, which is, I think I had one, two. Actually, I probably had three or four. I don't know if all my flip phones had it, but I had that crappy silver one before I got the red one. You know, the super, you know. And that one had it in the base, but the red one had it in the flip part. But it was in the center, which was nice because everything else is off center. And I don't know. I guess that's about it about that phone. Well, did I say there's a mirror when you flipped it down? I think it was a mirror, like a smoky mirror. So, you know, obviously it wouldn't blind you or anything. But if you wanted to get a, and it probably made you look better because it was a smoky charcoal-y mirror. I don't know. I never knew if that was intentional or not. I assume so, but maybe it was just one of those accidental miracles or whatever they call it. Like, that shouldn't have been an accident. Flip phone, that's not an accident. You know, that was some bright person that said, well, you flip it, it's a flip phone. Get rid of the clamshell. That's too much. You're right. Clamshell. How are we going to fit that in the marketing? Okay, where were we before? Jesse's phone. So he calls Walt, leaves a message. Or maybe he doesn't even leave a message. He can't find my spot here. Oh, country. Flip phone with mirror. There's that. Six messages. There we go. From Saul. Then just so they say, get over the office, get over the office. Which in a, you know, three or four rewatches of this episode, these things start to seem... You start to wonder now. But Jesse shows up. He gets frisked. Saul's shredding papers and insulting his coworker. And he goes, the end times are here, kid. End times. And Jesse's like, well, what do you want? And he goes, don't you want your money? Just take your money. He goes, I'm hitting the road. This was bright. He said, I'm a brilliant performer. I should just hit the road, you know. Better see Saul. Instead of Better Call Saul, get your tickets now. You better see Saul. And Brand consultant, that's too much like seesaw. I'd be like, you're right. That's why I caught it already. So I'll be billing you. Better see Saul. See Saul on the seashore. But he says, I don't like the heat so hot. Catch my drift, daddy-o. So Jesse takes some money. To be honest, during this scene, I don't know why. I think I was in a bad place. I was distracted. So I'll be honest with you. I kind of let you guys down for these, 3 minutes. I was looking at my phone. Oddly enough, all this phone talk got me. So I better check my phone. But it was like a neurotic checking of my phone. He said, what haven't I checked today on my phone? I better check that because I'm not feeling comfortable. We can't live in the moment. It's not like I was living in the moment. And maybe, I mean, it's good that Game of Thrones is coming up because I'm like, oh, actually, when you're hearing this, it'll be after Game of Thrones. Total time travel. I'm recording this in freaking April. You believe that? Hey, what's up? How you doing? I don't know when this has come out. That's crazy, huh? Podcasting, man. It's time travel for free. Anyway, then we have Hank. He's looking at pictures of the laundry. All serious. Skylar rolls up behind him. She looks at the pictures. They kind of talk. And he's like, oh, clean as a whistle, they say. So she calls. She goes, bums the smoke. Calls Walt. He goes out on the deck. There's a strange, quiet cop. That's who she bums the smoke off of. Couldn't figure out what he was doing out there because he's just sitting on the deck chilling. And I said, is he on break? Because he didn't look like he was on break. And he was like, there he is, a strange, quiet cop kicked back. And I said, well, that's strange to me. That's why I put it. And I remember the first time I saw it, I said, well, that's strange. He's kind of sitting there. Like looking at the sunset. So I don't know. I'm sure if you're a taxpayer in Albuquerque, they'd have something to say about it. And smoking on duty, bumming. What do you call it if you give someone a smoke? If they're bumming a smoke off you. I mean, that's a phrase that'll be gone soon. Anyway, then we have, talking about smoking, we have Jesse kicking back, and he's playing with his lighter. It's a good thing this show is for adults, because that's a bad example. That's another thing in the 80s, there was all these crises about playing with matches and lighters. You know, if you're listening, kids, don't freaking play with it. It's that simple. I think that's all that had to be said, but I think it was... I think that was another brilliant move by the cigarette companies to say, okay, if we could blame the lighters and the cigarettes for all this. And they did that. They pulled that one off probably from 1976 to 1999, I think. Wow, I didn't even realize that. There you go, brand consultant. Blame somebody else. That's come up twice tonight. But Jesse gets a call. He's like, what's wrong? He runs to see Andrea. But they're like, oh, this is only for family, a little family group thing. So Jesse goes outside to smoke. His cigarette is missing. So then he tells Andrea, you know, there's dangers in smoking. Tell Brock. Then we have Walt at home. And then there's a knock, knock. And it's Jesse. And then I said, this is in parentheses. It's Walt acting scared. Open parenthesis, beginning parenthesis, as well as acting scared, close parenthesis. And then even Jesse looks just stared. That does it. Just stoned, just stared. That's not really a word. But Walt's all paranoid. And it's like, this is the end. You know, he says it's all coming to an end. Full scope of what's happening. And Walt's putting it on him and blaming Gus. and it's all coming down. And I think Walt even says, I'm powerless, Jesse. And Jesse goes, oh, no, no, no. I know what you're up to, man. And Walt says, Jesse, no, no, it's all Gus. And then Jesse accuses Walt. And then Walt tries the old, I'm going to talk some sense into Jesse. He goes, who's Brock? I don't have no idea what you're talking about, Jesse. It's not like I have a giant brain that I'm always, you know, what do you mean? And Jesse, poor Jesse. And Jesse's like, I'm so stressed and I'm so confused. And Walt's like, it's probably, and Jesse's like, no, it's you. He goes, I know you're up to something, Walt. And it's such a stupid, nobody ever told Jesse, trust your gut, you know. I guess it wouldn't be a TV show if Jesse trusted his gut, though. So, by the way, Scooter, keep it to yourself. But Jesse actually, I think, put it all together. But maybe he didn't. And Walt's like, well, why would I do it? Jesse, we're a team, you know. You know, we're partners, socios, they say, you know, in Colombia. And you call me Mr. White, you know, I love that. And Jesse even says, this is when it gets, oh man, this scene is good. So he goes, because I'm helping Gus, and this is your way of ripping my heart out before you go. Just admit it. Admit it. And then they go back and forth, and then Walt goes, oh, well, I don't understand the motivation. What could, and then Walt starts cracking up. He falls, lies down, he's laughing. So Jesse's already been on this emotional roller coaster of being angry, being crushed, being angry again. Now he's confused. But he still knows Walt's a liar. He's like, Walt, you know, but then Walt starts laughing. And he goes, Gus wants you. He goes, he does want us to break up. He goes, that's why. He goes, this is his plan. He's 10 steps. This is great. Gus is always 10 steps ahead of me. And he needed your consent, so he's got that now. Oh, boy, he's tricky. And Jesse's like, no, 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 Walt. He goes, this is something that doesn't have anything to do with Gus. This has to do with, and then Walt's like, well, Jesse, you know, you've always been one to question yourself. Why would you stop questioning your terrible judgment right now? He goes, you're the last piece of the puzzle being puzzled by me. You're everything he wanted. Oh, this is such a, this little dialogue, man, so good. Think about it. It's brilliant. You know, that's it. Let's say goodbye. And then Jesse's like, wait, maybe you're right. Maybe I should go talk to Gus. But Walt's like, no, 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 no. He goes, I'll help you or something. Then let me help, he says. So then Jesse goes back to see Brock and Andrea, but the people at the hospital are like, oh no, really strict. They really don't like Jesse, which is not surprising. Jesse must be sleeping at the hospital. Jesse's taking a nap. He gets woken up by Tyrus. He goes, you need to be at work now. And Jesse's like, I'm not going. And he's like, well, there's a batch about to be ruined. And Jesse goes, I don't care. I'm not leaving. And he goes, if he has a problem with that, he can tell me himself. I'm not his errand boy. So hit the road. And then he texts Walt. That was a big thing. I put Jesse texts Walt in a parenthesis this for some reason, question mark. Kind of guy is Scooter. Kind of guy that parentheses a question mark, to be honest with you. Then Tyrus comes. He calls Gus. He says, Gus wants to speak with you. And then they go, and then Gus plays the soft shoe. Oh, Jesse, you know, I'm trying to run a business. And Jesse's like, you don't understand. And he goes, this is our interest. Jesse goes, I'm not leaving. And then he says, well, I have a lot of strings I could pull on your behalf. And he goes, I guess that's ruined, that batch. So he goes, let's just call it even. Tyrus will go and clean the tanks. And then when you're ready to, next week, we'll get back to work. And then we see Walt. I forgot to mention this. I guess I never wrote down the scene where Walt was working on his Raspberry Pi. But Walt has the old Raspberry Pi trick where you start the card and then it shuts off. He was going to play that trick on. But before that, let's see. We'll start when you're ready. Gus goes in the parking lot. And Walt watches. There's Christmas lights in the building Walt's on. He's got binoculars. He's watching. But Gus is thinking the whole time, this really is a cat and a cat game, not a cat and a mouse game. Or two roadrunners, you know, spy versus spy, but smart spies instead of those two. But Gus is thinking the whole time, slowly figuring it out. But Walt's got his little, you know, he's like, I got this funny raspberry thing. Also notice he had cardboard down. So I thought that was interesting. I said, well, he really planned ahead. He's got cardboard so he can kneel on the roof without getting indentations from the roof. And he also has a diaper bag. That's his Raspberry Pi Maker kit in a diaper bag. You know, no, that's like, that's a double thing that makes it tough. You say, well, geez, you know, makers don't get respect as being tough. Guys with diaper bags don't need to get respect. Maker kit in a diaper bag, you better watch out. That's how Eisenberg rolls with his little practical jokes. But there's tension building. We'll pull off this practical joke. Music building. And then Gus walks off. He listens to his gut. We see the Los Pollos air freshener on the rearview mirror. And then we see Walt's backyard, and we see a Lily of the Valley plant, and it's like, oh, man. Hey, good night, everybody.
All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcast, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 1254 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 1253, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do three seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode one of that. That was the one we did originally. Then 1252 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 1250, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback. feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support, support@supercast.com. And good night.